to pray for us. We'll read over in St. John, and as you know, one of my favorite places to read, in the 15th chapter. Just had just a couple of thoughts, and I don't know what all we'll say tonight. I really don't. But just want to mind the Lord tonight. Maybe want to start reading just about the 7th verse maybe there, and I'll start reading down from there. In the 15th chapter of the book of John, he said, "If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you." And I'll stop right there for just a little bit. I was thinking on this scripture, greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. And he tells us in that, you back up, he said, "This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you." And if we truly get to thinking about that as Christians, just think how much Christ loved you. Think what he gave for you, what he gave for me. And if that truly, Matt, ever gets to bearing on our life, you know, you think back and you think over the disciples and the apostles and just how fresh and real everything was over there at Pentecost and in those days, and what they had just witnessed Christ go through. This was a man, naturally, now I'm speaking to you, they had walked with, naturally, Conley. They had walked with this man, they'd seen him perform miracles and all this. They saw a man that had done nothing but loved everybody, helped everybody, healed people that he'd come in contact with, raised the dead, done all these great works, and they saw him hated to such a degree that they plucked his beard out of his face, they spit on him, they beat him till he was no doubt unrecognizable, And took and laid him and nailed him to a cross and crucified him naked before men. That's the kind of hatred that these people witnessed over in that day. And we know within their selves, Matt, these men had no drive. They had no way, because we saw Peter at this point in his life deny Christ. We saw how boldly he was. He cut off Malchus's ear over there in the garden that day in boldness, standing right next to Christ, and within hours was denying him there. Because why? Because Peter was just a man at that point. Peter was a man filled with his own desires, his own self-will, and things of that nature. But yet, here in just a short amount of time, he couldn't even stand for the Lord. Here in just a little while, though, we find as time goes on, we find him over there at Pentecost. And you see Peter with a boldness on him like you've never seen in your life. And this was that same man that had just witnessed what Christ went through. And he wasn't even strong enough to be able to stand and say, "Yes, I'm a follower, I'm a disciple." He cursed and he denied and he turned and he went and wept bitterly when he heard the cock crow. What happened in that time? There was a spirit over there on Pentecost moved down on the inside of that man that wasn't there before. You want to know something today? At that point, Peter was willing to stand in boldness after Pentecost. He was willing to preach the gospel, whether they beat him, whether they scourged him, whether he had to face the same kind of a death that Christ faced. He was able and he had the ability, Jay, to stand and do that. How did he do that? Because the greater love moved inside of him. The God of heaven, his love, moved down on the inside of that man the day that he got born again and received the Spirit down in his life. I'm going to tell you what, you want to know something? Why a lot of times that people can't stay with God, why they can't stand in boldness, why they won't face opposition and won't go against it, because I don't think a lot of times they've got the true Spirit of God down on the inside of them. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. If we truly want to see our people born again, hey, I'm going to tell you what, we're going to be willing to stand. We're going to be willing to go against all of hell if it comes against us, because we realize that just like Daniel was playing there tonight, victory was won at Calvary. Hey, Peter had a boldness in him because he knew the resurrected Jesus Christ.
If we had hope in this life only in Christ Jesus, we'd be the most miserable.
Yes, sir.
At that point when he denied, he only had hope in Christ Jesus in his life. He had watched and witnessed the man he loved die and get buried. Well, at that point when he denied, he had watched him be scourged and beaten and get ready to hang on a cross. At that point, all he knew, Dana, was Jesus in this world. Why couldn't he have the boldness? Because he hadn't received the full gift of God yet.
What changed on Pentecost? Peter had already witnessed the resurrected Christ. Peter had already witnessed the one that won victory on Calvary. The one that won victory over death. The one that won victory over hell and the grave. And that greater love moved down on the inside of him.
You want to know where we need to be today? You keep loving them grandparents enough to pray for them. Keep standing bold and standing firm. And love them the same way Christ loved you.
Yeah.
Willing to die and lay his life down. We ain't willing a lot of times to give up a few things in this life to see our people saved.
He said in that, "This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends."
That's how great we can love our people. And if we truly are born again children of God, that's how great we will love them. There's nothing will come in between us and that prayer. Nothing will come in between. We lay down our life. It's though I mentioned Stephen a whole lot, because I do, honestly. I think of Stephen probably every day of my life. I really do. I think about how he preached in the boldness that he did, facing the stones that was coming against him, the hatred that was coming at him. How do you reckon a man done that? He had a great love for the people that was trying to kill him. He tells us in these scriptures right here, he said, they hated me and they're going to hate you too. This world's going to hate you. If you know what you got to do, keep loving them, baby. Loving them enough to tell them the truth. Stephen didn't turn and he didn't say, God curse them and kill every one of them right here today. No, he just kept his eyes on the Father and he fell asleep. Reckon where he learned how to do that. not by the teaching of man, but by seeing his Savior hanging on the cross and saying, Father, forgive them. They don't even know what they're doing. That's the love that ought to be in our hearts. If we want to keep seeing people saved around this church, keep loving them, keep praying for them, and keep being willing to lay your life down. There's no greater love than that. It's over in 1 John. I thought of this scripture as we were studying in the third chapter. 13th verse, he says, marvel not, my brethren, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death unto life, because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Hereby perceive we the love of God. That word perceive means nothing more than understand. Hereby we understand, perceive we, hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Now, I'll go on and read some more of that here just in a minute. But I want us to think about the time and the day we live in. And our lives are so consumed with everything going on around us that we ain't got time to think about our people going to hell. That's just the honest truth. All these people over here in these days, what did Christ do? He came to this earth to do one thing, the will of the Father. To complete the plan of salvation. To give himself a sacrifice that me and you could go to heaven. That's the same commandment that comes to me and you. Whatever it is that gets in the way, Colin, we need to focus on seeing our people saved above everything else. There's nothing no more important.
We sat back there a while ago talking about how quick and how life could go by, and how there's a man sitting in Chestnut Grove Church one Sunday, and the next Sunday he's gone. That's just how uncertain what me and you are living is in this old flesh. I may not be here next week. But while I've got opportunity, let me love. Let me love my people, Shane. Let me lay my life down for my friends. And give everything I've got to my fullest ability to see them saved. Because just as much so, Tommy said he wasn't worried about that man where he was at, just as much so as a Christian can be here one Sunday and not be here the next. We can sit in a service with a lost person, and they may be gone by next Sunday too. And if we ain't been where we needed to be and been down at the house of God willing to lay our life down on their behalf, what did he say we was? A murderer. What did you happen, preacher? I didn't hate that man. Did you love him enough to lay your life down? It's really when you get down to figuring out what hate is, less love. Sometimes we love ourselves more than we love our people. We've got so much going on, we can't focus on nothing but us. You follow Peter's life after Pentecost. You follow all these others. And at that moment in their life, and think back, I think I may have mentioned it this morning, think back to when you got saved and just how on fire he was. What do you think was going on over at Pentecost? He had cloven tongues of fire. A boldness upon him like man had never seen before, because he'd never been here like that.
The Spirit of God was consuming old natural men and letting them preach with power like it had never been seen. Thousands, Matt, was being saved. Why? Because their focus was solely on laying their life down for their people. You want to know how our churches can start seeing souls saved more than they are? Laying our life down a little more than we do. Loving them enough to realize I had a good friend sitting right back there where Tommy and Darlene was sitting this morning. A boy I love. I want to see him get this. He said this morning, he said, I just want to learn more about the Lord. We've had Jose sitting in this church. We've had Dean Ball sitting in this church. We've had many others sitting in this church that we know by their own profession is lost. How much have we loved them? How much have we laid down our lives for them as a friend? Ain't no greater love than that.
But whoso hath this world's good and seeth his brother have need and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. Think of that 18th verse. My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth.
There's more to this than just saying. I ain't not look at you and tell you I love you. But showing means a whole lot more.
That's
true. I've told you, Furman used to say about the Spirit of God, he said it's a whole lot better felt than told. That's the way it is about the love of God. It's a whole lot better felt than told. We can tell our people we love them. We can tell them we care about them. But you know what had such an impact? When the children of God witnessed him actually giving his life on their behalf. Realizing that he resurrected on their behalf. That's what had an impact on me when I seen Jesus loved me.
Daniel sung that song not just a few Sundays ago.
He ain't here today. He sang, Jesus loves me. Big old man singing, Jesus loves me. That's the key to it all. Jesus loves me. And when I see Jesus loves me, for the Bible tells me so, and you know what I need to start doing, brother? I need to start loving others. And it'll happen that way. That's the first thing. I know I talk about my salvation a lot, but it's my salvation and it's my story, it's my testimony. The first thing when I got saved I wanted to do is tell others.
I wanted to give them what I had. I wanted them to have the same kind of joy that I had.
Why did he let Christ came for me and you? He wanted us to have what he had. And he made a way that we could. And he gave his life. That's all he asks out of us. That's all he commands us is to love one another. Enough that we'd lay our life down for our friends.
I wanted to read back over in John one thing. He tells us in that 9th verse, the 15th chapter, he said, let me read the 8th verse with you there. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love.
That may just seem like a little old few words right there in that verse, in that chapter. Continue ye in my love.
What did he say right before that, though? He said, "Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples." You know what he tells us to be fruitful? You know what, how his Father is glorified? By much fruit. You know how it's going to, we're going to see much fruit in them? That you're going to see your friends and your family safe? By continuing in his love. And greater love than this hath no man, than he lay down his life for his friends. How are we going to see people saved? Love them. Just like Christ loved me and you. Be willing to lay down your life for your friends. And give whatever he requires us to give. Like I say, right back to Stephen. I know I mention him a lot, and I don't apologize for him. Lord helps me through that man. He hadn't stood as bold as he did when he stood in the midst of everything he stood. Paul heard the gospel over there in that day. At that moment, it didn't seem like... It's just like some services. Sometimes you stand and preach, and it'll feel like that it's just they ain't nothing. Nobody's getting the thing. It'll feel that way sometimes. I'm just being honest with you. Do you want to know something? He tells us to stand and preach and to be instant in season and out of season. To rebuke, reprove, exhort with all long suffering. Right there at that moment, if Stephen would have got to look at everything around him, he'd thought, "There is nobody hearing this." And just give up. But he kept preaching, kept his eyes on Jesus. And he preached in love, and he laid down his life. In natural, laid down his life right there that day. And to be honest with you, Paul's the only one we got on account of. But how do we know that's the only one that heard that gospel that day and see? We don't. If all this book was wrote down, we couldn't contain it all. You know what? We just get a little glimpse and a taste of just some things that came out of here. That's far greater than me and you even know that come from the preaching of the gospel. The same today when that gospel goes out and it finds its place. I believe this morning that some of your testimonies and the message fell on that back pew back there. I believe that. I believe it's doing a work right there. And that's just one place. There's other places it's failing this church this day and tonight. We just got to keep loving and being willing to lay down our life. That's how much we love. It's not a hard thing, Matt. Something coming at them youngins right there, son, you'd fight a grizzly bear. Knowing that you probably wouldn't prevail. But that's how much you love. Greater love hath no man than this, to lay down his life for his friend. That's how much we got to love our people. And realize that the victory's already been won at Calvary. We're not going up against a grizzly bear. No. This battle's already been fought and it's already been won at Calvary. We can go through and claim some victories is what we can do. Lay down our life. Sacrifice a few things in our life. I've said it many a time and I guess I'll say it until I die. Don't need to be a working God around my schedule. I need to work my schedule around God. And do that the Lord calls me to do. He wakes you up in the middle of the night to pray. Get up and pray. He lays it on your heart, Tommy, like he's done you a few times. You're busy. Billy Horn. Different ones. Dale. He lays them people on your heart. Go. Go. There's some evidence it works. Them two men's in heaven today. Because somebody loved them enough.
to lay the right down, their things for just a little while. And go share Jesus. It works. It's always worked and it'll keep working.
You got a great spirit if you're born again abiding in you. You got a great love abiding in you. He laid down his life.
Help us to do the same thing. I love you. I'd like to say, maybe short, that's what God